I hope after we're done tonight that we have a plan. And what Elias said, you know, we can sit under the gospel, we can hear it, and we can say amen, and we can go away and not put it to practice. I want to encourage each one of us to not do that, myself included. Psalm 19, I want to read, that's going to be our text chapter, the last half of Psalm 19. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. I think I'll read that, and we'll get back to it a little bit later, but I'll read those verses this time. The heading on my Bible says, right above it, verse 7 says, God's law is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. We're going to verse 14. I think I said 11. We're going to 14. 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So when a person comes to Christ and puts their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we can assure them of their salvation. The Bible tells us that. We believe that. 1 John 5:10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in his heart. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. John 5:24 says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And I'm going to look at 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God gives us the assurance of salvation as we believe on Jesus Christ. Now, if we've really met Christ and he's come into our life, there should be changes. I think we all would agree with that. We all are aware of that. Works should follow faith. Works don't save us, but they are an evidence, a good evidence, that we're saved. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we're saved, but it also says, according to his mercy, he saved us. But then also the Bible says, faith without works is dead. So we have discussions. We know some people are heavy on faith. Some people are heavy on works. But if we take the Bible, we simply realize that a person that is born again, his life will bring forth that fruit. I think Titus 2 verse 12 sums it up really well. Titus 2 verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, faith and works go hand in hand. I believe, and I think we all agree, that a born-again Christian will have these earmarks, that believer, that Christian, will bear fruit in his life, and people will see that. You can't hide it. And I'm assuming that each one of us here tonight want to experience growth, spiritual growth, and success in our lives. You know, we probably all know people, family, whatever, that have, you know, not done so well, have been failures in the spiritual life. You know, somehow they've lost their way and they've decided it's not worth it. And maybe you're someone tonight that's struggling and you're wondering, is the Christian life worth it? You know, we face those things sometimes in our lives, and especially when maybe we're rejected. You know, I know some young people face it when they ask a young lady for their hand in courtship, and they get rejected and they can't take it, and they say it's not worth going on. And you know, we question someone's faith to begin with. And we wonder, well, what happened? Was it how serious was your faith? Well, I would like tonight, and it's pretty basic, I would like to share some basic principles that with each one tonight that I believe can help each one grow spiritually and will help us to be successful in our walk with Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, it's not necessarily a push button. You know, we like easy, we like quick. But anyway, you know, sometimes, getting back to the Christian, sometimes if I'm working on a computer, I've got the browser open, I've got email, I've got different windows open, and sometimes the whole system kind of starts to slow down, and sometimes I've already just shut the whole thing down, restarted it, and rebooted it. And maybe that's where you find, maybe your Christian life tonight needs a reboot. And I'm hoping tonight that I can share some basic principles to help you with that reboot, if you will. Rekindle that fire. So the Christian life, I think it basically comes down to, and I think you'd agree with me, that Christianity, the Christian life, will work for every man and every woman that was ever born. It will work. And but why do some succeed and some spiritually fail and lose out? We could probably have a discussion, but I think the short answer to that is that people choose to succeed in their spiritual life. And you might say, well, that's too simple, that's too basic. But I think if you really embrace the Christian life, if you embrace your faith and you go for it, you will succeed. I mean, the Bible is clear. The Bible doesn't have disclaimers that, you know, if you do this and that, but if you're a product of a broken home, it may not work for you. There's no such things. It's the Bible, the Christian life will work for every man and woman. And if you have a real desire, my opinion is, and I believe yours would be too, that if you want to follow Christ, then we will. God will do his part. You know, I'm not saying tonight it's all about human effort. I hope you understand that. But, you know, I do want to acknowledge that we have a part to do, and God will do his part. You know, there's some things that only God can do, and there's some things only I can do. Only I can step out in faith. Only I can decide to follow Christ with my whole life. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. It talks there about working out our salvation. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It doesn't say work for your salvation. It says work out. God's desire is for us to serve him. You know, he's not going to force us. He doesn't want robots. But his desire is that we serve him. And he's done everything. He's done his part. It's up to us to step out in faith and decide to follow Christ, decide to grow in our spiritual life. And 2 Peter 1, verse 3, you know, it's we have the resources. God hasn't shorted us. It says here in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, that according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God is not holding anything back from us. Andrew McLaren said, he that hath the Holy Spirit in his heart and the Bible in his hands has all he needs. Do you believe that tonight? He that hath the Holy Spirit in his heart and the Bible in his hands has all he needs. It's sort of like it's all right here. It's all, you know, it's all right here. You know, I like, maybe the young men can appreciate this, but I've always liked vehicles, cars. And it's like, if someone gives me the key to a 500 horsepower car, I'm probably going to drive it, and I'm probably going to test it. But you've got to put the ignition in, and you've got to start it, or that power does absolutely nothing. And that's how it is with the Bible. If you look at it every day, and you just, that's a nice book, you know, you don't get into it, you don't try it, you don't read it, it does you no good. It's all right there. It's right there for you. You just have to step out and you have to start applying it. So, young people, I'm going to talk to you a little bit. You know, we come to this life of being a Christian. We come to this life, you know, at the age of accountability, if we make that choice to follow Jesus. You know, in the society that we live in today, it's all about now, instant. And I wonder sometimes, and I'm not exempt from it, and I'm not exempting myself from the struggles of the instant society, if you will. But I wonder sometimes if patience has been lost a little bit. You know, the mentality of getting everything now hasn't made us lazy. You know, the latest miracle weight loss drug, Ozempic, you know, that's one of the latest things, and people use it, and they get great results out of it. Also, I actually come across this the other day. It said that the study found that someone takes Ozempic or some of those pills, that weight loss things, that unless they make changes in their diet, as soon as they get off of that, they're back in a couple months. They're back to where they were. It's like, well, yeah, you don't have to. I mean, I could have told you that. You don't have to do a study about that. I could have told you that. If you don't make changes, you know, if you go on a pill, it don't make sense. But if you're right back where you were before you got on the miracle drug, if you will. If you don't make changes, you're back to square one. Kind of like what Elias said, read the verse there. Look in the mirror, see ourselves, don't make any changes. Doesn't do any good. But why do miracle pills and miracle drugs, if you will, generate so much excitement? I think it's because everybody wants to live, everybody wants it now. Young men, you know, You like six packs, right? That's what everybody, young man, he wants to be fit, he wants to have a six pack. Well, you can get an ab machine, you can strap it on every night, you can turn that on, and in 2 weeks you got a six pack. You know, that's the advertisement. Well, you know, some people, I'm sure, buy it. The one I bought didn't work. No, I didn't buy one. but you know, that's what it generates interest. People want instant things. And you know, I had to think of when I was growing up. The first recorded music that I remember was tapes. Does anybody here, you know, you've probably, you know, records, you know, the big vinyl, I've seen those, they've kind of come back into style. And then what's an 8-track? Let me know what 8-track is. Oh, you guys are old. I have no idea what an 8-track is. But I remember a tape. And, you know, it was, you play a couple songs and you want to go back. Push the record button, you go make dinner, you come back and you hit, okay, it's halfway where I want it to be. Push rewind again, you know, and stop it. And well, then it was CDs where you just skip. You skip to the song. Well, now it's instant download, you know, instant. You want a song, you push it, it plays, you can take your finger, you can move the to where, you know, it's instant. So my point is, I wonder if some of that stuff doesn't rub off on us, and we get into the Christian life, and we want, you know, we're not satisfied with growth. We want to know everything now, and so my point is, when it comes to the Bible, you know, it talks about discipline. It talks about obedience, and it talks about different things like that. And there's really, you know, there's kind of a learning curve with that when you're a young Christian. And I wonder if some of this instant society hasn't rubbed off. I know it's probably rubbed off on me. So the principle number one, point number one, is if you're going to be a successful Christian, you must read, study, and love the Word of God. I mean, that's so basic. Joshua 1, verse 8. If you're going to be a successful Christian, you must read, study, and love the Word of God. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This was the Lord talking to Joshua after Moses had passed on his reward. And God was simply telling Joshua, this is what you need to do. Meditate therein day and night. And, you know, if you want to find out what God wants for your life, if you want to grow spiritually, you're going to have to do this. You're not going to just push a button and find yourself spiritually strong. When Billy Sunday became a Christian, an older Christian told him, if you do these three things, no one will ever say the word backslider after your name. Number one was take 15 minutes every day to let God talk to you. Number two was take 15 minutes every day to talk to God through prayer. And number three was take 15 minutes every day to talk to someone else about God. So if you do these three things, this is man's advice to Billy Sunday was, no one will ever say the word backslider after your name. Number one, take 15 minutes every day to let God talk to you. Take 15 minutes every day to talk to God through prayer. And number three, take 15 minutes every day to talk to someone else about God. So how does God talk to us, to me, to you? Well, it's primarily through His Word. I think we all know that. I mean, it's primarily through His Word. It's not something, and that's not something you outgrow. It's not something you ever will outgrow. The reading His Word and studying His Word. Psalm 119, 72. We never outgrow the need for God's Word. We never get beyond that point in our spiritual lives. You know, I'm not an old man, and there's probably some here that are about double my age, but I think if I would ask them, they'd probably say it's probably more vital now than it was when they were younger. 119:72 says, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You know, that's pretty profound. Do we pursue the Word of God the way we pursue our occupations. We should pursue it more. C.H. Spurgeon said, he was an English pastor from England, he said, "No one ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years," end quote. So the more you get into it, the more you find, and the more you can apply it to your life. You know, we don't outgrow the need for food, for physical food. You know, no one has ever said, "Well, I'm beyond eating. You know, I don't need to eat anymore. I don't need it anymore." And that's the same way with spiritual food. We do not outgrow the need for spiritual food. And you know, it's more than going to church. I think we all know that. And you know, that's definitely an integral part of the Christian life. But it takes regular study. And nothing can take the place of reading and studying your Bible, my Bible, every day. And like I said, God speaks to us through His Word. But some people say, "Well, I've never been a reader, much of a reader." Well, how about you start being a reader? That'd be my advice. Just start being a reader. If you're not going to read God's words, well, I mean, you can listen to it. I get that. But there's something about reading God's word. I like to sometimes go from different translations, like the Amplified Bible. I like to use it, you know, read it in either the ESV or the King James Version, and then go to the Amplified Bible and just kind of see how it pops, if it pops a little more. And usually it does. I'm going to write on the board. I thought this was... See that or not? Markers must come from the same ones in our church. It's always kind of funny to watch somebody else do it when the markers don't work. Bible, basic. First one's basic. Can you read that or not? It says, basic Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. So, do you need to study the Word of God? Absolutely. If you want instructions on how to live your life. I mentioned it the other night. You know, this is God revealing Himself to man. Right here it is. And basic, I really like that. Basic instructions before leaving Earth, not original with me. All right, so let's go back to Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law or the word of the Lord is perfect. Where are you going to turn to when disaster strikes in your life? In a crisis, you gonna go to People Magazine or a Field and Stream or Outdoor Life? No, you're gonna go. You need to go to the Bible. That's, you know, if you have the Bible, you have God in your life. When disaster strikes, you've got something. You've got the church. You've got the answers to life's problems. One writer said, "He who rejects the Bible has nothing to live by. Neither does he have anything to die by." You know, at some point in our life, we are going to face hardship. You know, that's That's a given. And if we don't have the foundation in place when hardship hits, when tragedy strikes, you know, it's going to be disaster. It's going to be spiritual disaster. The Word of God is perfect. In other words, it's whole, it's complete, it's sufficient. And it's God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, it talks a little bit about that. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, actually my side, that's where I got the God breathed. My side reference said inspiration means Scripture is breathed out by the Spirit of God. It's God breathed. And even with some recent discoveries, like, I don't know, was it in the last 10 or 15 years? It was pretty recent. They found some Dead Sea Scrolls, and it actually matched up perfectly with what we have here. And, I mean, I wasn't surprised by it, but I'm sure some people maybe were. But God never changes, and God has given us His revelation, and it's still the same. Stands the test of time. And it never goes out of style. Number two, God's word changes you. Going back to verse 7 there. Back to Psalm 19. Making wise the simple. Converting the soul. Maybe you're someone that has it all together. Maybe you're like, well, thankfully, my spiritual journey is pretty much complete. I'm not sure I grow more spiritually. I would say that you would be what they call simple, because we know, if we're honest, that we'll never get there. We must not only read it, but we must apply. Let's go to some of those verses that Elias read to us earlier. James 1, verse 22 through 25. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, I know Elias talked a little bit about it, but, you know, if looking, you know, someone goes, if you're somewhere and you see people laughing a little bit, kind of behind your back, like, I wonder what they're laughing about, you go in the bathroom, and the restroom, and you look in the mirror, you've got, you know, something stuck on your face. You're gonna get rid of that, right? You're gonna do something about it. And that's the same way spiritually. If there's an area in your life that God convicts you, do something about it. You know, don't just keep going, because James says that, like Elias brought out, we're on the path to deception. And then 26 and 27 gives us a little bit of some tips here on the Christian life. You know, if any man seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Some sound advice. Number three, making wise the simple. The Word of God gives wisdom. The Hebrew word that's translated into the English word here in simple comes from a root that means an open door. I get the idea of this simple person here in Psalm 19 that, you know, if you look at the root word, an open door, and you get the idea of a person that has a mind like it's an open door. It just, everything comes in and everything just goes back out. It's just, instead of an in-and-out burger, it's an in-and-out brain, if you will. Goes in one ear and out the other. And this person believes in Jesus. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. You know, kind of nonchalantly. But he also believes that there's probably Bigfoot. You know, there's UFOs and Elvis is still living or whatever. You know, that's that type of person. That's a person I get, the simple person. It's just whatever. Yeah, great. If you want to believe in Jesus, great. You know, there's other people that they don't believe in Jesus, but they'll make it to heaven. You know, don't be so harsh. The Bible's, you know, it's a good book. You know, that's I get this picture of a person that has no foundation and is just completely open to everything. The Word of God is able to take that same person and make them wise. That's pretty amazing. You know, if we're wise, we'll start seeing the world, the culture around us, the way God wants me to see it. You know, it's not just whatever happens. You know, a person that's simple and is not wise will take heed to his family, will take heed to his own life, and he'll see that what God says in his word, God means in his word. And it's amazing to me. You know, God's word is profound, and it takes a simple person and turns them into a wise person. Number 4, verse 8, the word of God is right. It says the statutes of the Lord are right. The Bible, as I've said before, is the roadmap for our spiritual life. It has the path. You know, I actually started this year. I started doing the one-year Bible, and I've never done that before. And I'm going to try to read the Bible in a year, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I'm pretty excited about that because I've never done it before. And I'm curious to see, you know, what new truths I can glean from the Bible, from the Word of God. And the whole point is, the point is not to do it so I can say I did it, just, you know, check a box. But the point is to read the whole Bible and let God reveal himself to me. You know, maybe start asking questions about my own life, you know, search my motives. And, you know, some people read the Word of God to try to twist it into to match their lifestyle or to match their thinking. You know, they isolate this and don't take it all together. They kind of try to split hairs. But if you're truly seeking God's will for your life, you'll take it the way God means it. You know, that's the other thing about God's word. God's word doesn't change. I don't care who you are or how you try to shape it. God's word still says what it says. And there's many people in the world that would like to take it and apply it to different meanings. You know, there's many professing Christians in the world today that you know, practice homosexuality and somehow the Bible doesn't condemn it. I just don't understand where they get that. Or you put in there whatever sin you put in, the divorce, remarriage, whatever. The Bible is clear on those things. So, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening his eyes. Last point I have here is keeping the word of God makes you happy. Rejoicing the heart. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is pretty clear. The world brings pain, and it brings heartache, and it destroys people. Blessed is the man that walketh not. And, you know, verse 3, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I see someone that's flourishing spiritually. Someone that has found that success, that spiritual success in his life. And this Psalm 1 here, blessed. Blessed expresses the sense of happiness, joy, and satisfaction in one's state or circumstances. It often is, I'm reading from my side reference, it often is the result of blessing that comes from trust in and obedience to Jehovah. So how do you find yourself tonight? Are you enjoying spiritual success? You know, the Word of God has power. And if we read it with an honest, open mind, that power will be revealed to us and it will work in us. You know, it's interesting to me that people who discredit the Bible and who would say that it's you know, just another book. You know, I'm thinking here of governments down through history. If you know, for not being a book of you know, by their actions, I guess what I'm trying to say, by their actions, they're actually showing that God's word has power. And they do so much to get rid of it and not allow it, but yet it's more popular now than it's ever been. Interestingly enough, the government of Nicaragua recently put out that they are not going to allow people, and I don't know if somebody thought it was for citizens of Nicaragua, are not allowed to bring Bibles into that country anymore. And they actually tried to, Nathan Villalopez is from our church and married a girl from down there. They were in Costa Rica and they tried to come back in. They tried to actually take her Bible away. Now, this is the government of Nicaragua in 2026. And you know, well, if it's not anything, well, what are you trying to do? You know, that's the thing, that by their actions are showing that there's power in this book. There's power in God's word. Colossians 3:16. In closing, so how do you find yourself tonight? Do you find yourself in need of spiritual growth? I know I do. And I know I'm. I have not attained. And if you're floundering tonight in your Christian life, hopefully this can be an encouragement to you. This message can be an encouragement to you. You can find your footing. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." I get a picture here that Paul is telling the Colossian church here that let this word of God, let the Bible, let this word that we have, let it permeate every area of your life. It says, verse 17, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." You know, it's going to, if you take this book and you apply it and with an honest, open heart, it's going to, number one, it's going to affect every part of your life. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your relationship with your children, with your brethren. I mean, let's just go down the list. And, you know, God wants this. He's laid it out. He's given us instruction how to raise our children, how to live in unity. How, you know, it's all right here. And he wants us to dig into it, and he wants to show us the right way. And the only way you're going to find that is by studying, by learning from it, you know, memorize it, and, you know, internalize it, put it in you. Closing here, the Bible is the roadmap to heaven. It's the Bible that shows us what God wants from us, from his people. And like I've said before, from cover to cover, it's God revealing himself to us. Let's make it a part of our lives. Shall we kneel in prayer?